Hello, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is our 287th episode. I really do appreciate you tuning into the podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I hope you, your family, your friends, your loved ones are safe and sound. Please remember to wear a mask and keep them safe and sound and keep everybody else safe and sound as we continue our Groundhog Days through life with COVID. So I got fortunate enough, you know, I got to do a little variety here in the past couple of weeks. I went out and mowed our lot. We have an empty lot with trees and stuff. So I went out and was doing yard work in the lot, and that takes a while because it had been a while. So I had a little bit of work for the lawnmower and the weed whacker. But in that process of going back and forth, I got to thinking a little bit about photography and like, what is photography and how do we respond to photographs and how do we contextualize photographs? And part of this is because I was involved in a several week conversations in photography workshop class with several other people talking about photography, modern photography, and how we contextualize some of that. So some of it was thoughts that come out of that. Some of it was just, as a photographer, it's one of the things I like to think about is, you know, what do I create and why do I create the photographs I create? Like, why am I not a wedding photographer and I'm not a newborn baby photographer? Why do I do historical processing, landscapes, and portraiture? Why am I willing to make a living trying to shoot other people's artwork and products, but I'm not willing to shoot XYZ? So I think because photography is really malleable, because so many approaches to photography can happen, and you can be a photographer and photograph one thing but not another, and yet we still accept that as photography, it makes it a really interesting conversation to think about what is photography. And I'll get to a kind of a crux point here in a second on this, but in speaking about photography from a people standpoint, a personal standpoint, a person standpoint, is I think photography at its core is an action-oriented verb. I mean, even though it's a noun, it's an action-oriented element because we are engaged in a process that allows us to see, experience, understand, and change through the medium we create. So I think photography, you know, at its core is seeing. It's about helping us see the world. It helps us process and understand the world we exist in. So whether we're going out and photographing wildlife photography, we're going out and doing landscape, portraiture, wedding, whatever it is, it's helping us understand something about who we are, something about the thing we photograph and how we relate to one another. So it's building this relationship between subject matter, and photographer creator. I think that understanding is really important. It's what helps us develop a deeper sense of who we are and why these things are important. And it's also because of that that we're able to share that. So I think one of the other things photography is it's socializing. It's a way for me to say that this thing is important. This thing is important to me. And because I've seen it in a way that is hopefully unique to me, and I can share that with you, and then you can share the things that are important and unique in your way of seeing to me, through that we can build a better understanding of each other and a better understanding of why so many different things are important and why we see these things and why we relate to these things. But it's that communal sharing. It's why I think photo clubs exist. It's why people go to conferences. It's why they take classes and workshops. I also think it's one of the things that some people struggle with while they're learning photography. Because if you sit down and you only learn YouTube video, you only learn through online or like classes you download, I think you miss an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody else, a meaningful conversation about your work and their work. And that is a significant part of photography. Photography is a social aspect. We put things on walls to share and we want to get feedback. We want to hear feedback. We want people to see and experience our work. And so even if you're not feeling ready for that or timid about that, you know, if you're just putting any work out there, you put it up on Instagram, you put a photograph on Facebook, it's because you're sharing something you've seen, felt, and experienced that you want others to connect with. And I think that's an important part of photography. I think learning is an important part of photography, something we don't understand that we want to get a deeper insight into. And sometimes I photograph something. I'll photograph a bird in the yard just because, well, I'm in the yard. And I have to go back and learn, well, what bird is that? I don't recognize that bird. I haven't seen it before. You know, migratory time of year, maybe a different bird's coming through, or maybe it's just something I didn't recognize the plumage changed over the seasons, or maybe there's a certain plant, or maybe you meet somebody and you find the work they do interesting, so you go make a portrait of them in their workshop or studio or home or with their fancy antique car that they restored. You learn something about them and the thing that's important to them that you're then able to communicate to others. And I think that's a really important aspect of photography. I also think it's an important aspect of video. I mean, we include video in photography a lot of times, that those are kind of, they're different. They express and tell story different, but yet they're joined in some ways, kind of hand in hand. And so I think there's an interesting aspect of video that allows us to communicate and relate stories in a way that we haven't been able to before. We are able to share and see things in a way that is interesting for a lot of us. So I think there's an opportunity there for us to really grow as artists and as people through that socialization, sharing, learning, seeing aspect that photography provides us. Now, the crux of the thing that came out of the conversation that I spent a lot of time thinking about walking back and forth mowing was that while I believe photography is all of those things, there's an interesting thing because of the way the technology of photography has developed that allows for photographs to be made or video to be made without somebody present. So you can set up a Ring camera at your house, a little doorbell thing that Amazon sells that views everybody who comes up to your house. You can have that surveillance system recorded. You can keep records of that going back so far based on hard drive space or cloud storage space or whatever. You can set up surveillance cameras around your garage, around your house. There are body cameras. There are dashboard cameras that we put up as a way of holding, you know, different organizations accountable, being able to record information so we can have it. And what's interesting about those systems is there's not somebody there to actually record, to actually push the button on the frame that says this moment, this sensibility of seeing has been determined that this is what I think is important. So I'm going to make this record. I'm going to make this photograph. So at the moment everything comes into alignment and the light looks right and the trees look right and the frame looks right and the composition's in the correct position, I push the button, I get my photograph, I come back, I process it, I print it, and I'm totally happy. These systems are different. So in many ways, they're passive. By passive, I mean there was not an individual involved in the recording. The individual set up the position of the security camera, surveillance camera, dash camera, whatever it is. But those are still photographs. Or are they? I mean, that's kind of the question that the crux of this kind of conversation I was having in my head came down to was, are those in fact photographs? Is there a difference between an automated surveillance system recording a frame every 30 seconds out of a driveway, taking a picture, 12 megapixels, every 30 seconds or every 3 minutes or whatever it is there a difference between that and me standing there taking a photograph, say from even the exact same position, exact same location? What if I climbed up on an 8-foot ladder and took a picture? What if I took a picture outside my door of my front door of the house through the glass and I took a picture and it was similar to the Ring camera that would be in front of a house? Is there a difference between those two? Does the fact that a person is involved make it something different? Does it evolve the conversation about the work into something different? And for me, and this, a lot of this gets framed out of those conversations we were having in that Conversations of Photography group, the technology is such that on the surface, that would be a photograph. It would actually achieve and tick the boxes that it was recorded light, captured, presented. And in many cases, I could print those and they might not look like the greatest photograph because of the way the quality is, the graininess, depending on time of day when it was photographed. But yet, if I put that up there, for the most part, people would believe that was in fact a photograph. But do we believe it's the same thing as somebody creating a photograph? And I think for most of us on the surface, we'd be like, well, no, absolutely, that's not a photograph. That's, you know, the photographer is not present. But what is interesting about this, and what I think is interesting, the reason I wanted to bring it up in the podcast for you to think about is, one, I think it's important for you to know what you define photography as and why photography is important to you and what classifies to you certain types of photographs, which gets to the crux of this conversation. For me, the photograph is that capture. And what it is the photograph lives in a different bucket. So something that's captured by a positioned camera is, you know, in our conversations class, we use the word evidentiary. It's used for evidence. Its purpose is to have a record in some ways untainted by the individual, so that you know that the camera's point of view, the camera's depth of field, the camera's frame wasn't changed from what its default settings are. The camera's capable of capturing XYZ. This is what it captured. And assuming it hasn't been run through Photoshop or premiered for manipulation or something like that, we have basically a factual recording of what happened. And that becomes evidence. So if you think about a lot of the trials, a lot of the information we see, it's when that video, when that photograph is presented, it's a record of what happened. I remember one time I saw a speaker in Las Vegas. It was the head of security for MGM and all the hotels. And we were getting a tour and getting a conversation about the video surveillance system there. And they said, oh, the video is never in the security in the casino isn't about preventing somebody from card counting. It's to make sure that once we bust them for card counting, we have the evidence that we can prosecute them. So it wasn't there to be a deterrent. He's like, now there's a side effect of it being a deterrent, but it's not a deterrent. It's really there to help us make sure that we have a case when we catch the person for card counting. And in many ways, it's really important to understand that how these things were created and how we understand them is defined by that context. We need to understand what is the context by which the thing was created, the object of the photograph or video was created. And because the photographer is not involved, the context by which that was created is incredibly important. And so one of the things that happens a lot is if we get a frame pulled out of a video, a single shot out of video. So there's 24 frames per second or 60 frames per second. We pull one frame out of that. That can reveal one aspect of the way a scene went down, an event transpired. But because it's pulled out of the video, we lack the context of understanding how did it fit in with the other 24 frames in that second and the other thousands of frames that sat around it. So by understanding where did the photograph come from, what was its purpose, nature, and intent when it was created? Not the person creating it, but the photograph itself. Because in this case, the recording of that event and understanding the context of that event is critical for us having a realistic picture of what happened. So as you create and think about photographs, as you create and think about video, making sure that we get to identify not just what's in the frame, but also the structure by which that frame was created. So when we talk about people, this is why things in critique come up about, well, how do you talk about your work? What's important to you? What's your voice? What's your vision? What was the intent of the photographer when they created it? When you look at Lewis Hine's work about child labor, you can get an intent about whether Lewis was for or against child labor. How did those things come about when we looked at those images? When we look at video and context in the modern world, How does that set up our understanding of the events that are there? And what we really need to make sure we do as photographers is because we think about photography differently. We think about the way a photograph is created. We think about frames. We think about points of view. We think about depth of field. We think about compositional elements. But we also think about how we present that photograph. And we also think about why we're one type of photographer and not another type of photographer. So I have no qualms telling people I don't photograph weddings. I've turned down photographing weddings because I've told people you're going to end up with nothing remotely close to a wedding photograph. Now I can photograph while I'm at your wedding, but you will not get wedding photographs because I am not a wedding photographer. So I'm able to make that distinction. And yet when we look at photographs and we look at video and we look at context around different things, we have to understand the same thing when we look at photographs that are created by things that aren't with the person there. What is the context by which it's created? Because in many ways, it's still a photograph. And just like I'm not a wedding photographer, that photograph was captured, that video was captured without the aid of the individual. Decision was made when the camera was put in position and the type of camera that was put there made all of the definitions around framing, context, point of view. But once that was set, understanding that what we're seeing out of that, are we seeing individual still shots? Are we seeing contiguous video? All of those things are important to helping us understand what photography is. Because the other thing that's coming up is we're starting to get artificial intelligence built where machines are able to assemble photographs without even the object in front of them. So because we're in computational photography, I don't actually need light anymore to create the photograph. What I need is a computer processor with some machine learning program that says, oh, I've taken the notions of what I've looked at across 10 million photographs of the Eiffel Tower, and I've now made a photograph of the Eiffel Tower, but it is in fact not the Eiffel Tower. A camera was never there, and it holds the same digital weight, look, feel, and aesthetic as if it were taken with a photograph. So I think it's important for us as photographers to think about these ideas, to think about how do we as the people who are stewards of the craft of photography, the art of photography, and the understanding of photography, make sure that we are doing what we can to take some of those original reasons we were in photography. And that's why I started with the socialization, the learning, the seeing, the identification of intent with the photographer, those things that we worry about when we create our own work, that we are having those conversations as a broader society. We are the stewards of making sure we're having those conversations, because as photography evolves, as the technology evolves, as those things change, these are questions we're going to face. And why is it, if I can make a photograph of the Eiffel Tower and never having seen it, why is that photograph and the photograph you took where your whole life you wanted to go to Paris and see the Eiffel Tower and make that iconic photograph, are those in fact the same? If the AI one has better light because they got there and created better light, is that in fact the better photograph? Is it the more meaningful photograph? Is it the more purposeful photograph? And does it matter that there's a distinction there? For me, it does matter there's a distinction there. I think it's a critical aspect of photography that we have in the bucket of saying that this is photographs created by people and what they see, feel, experience through their understanding, socialization, learning process is distinct from surveillance and evidentiary photography. And it is distinct from computational AI created photography. And it's distinct from whatever else is in that bucket of photography. I think it's important we have those conversations. And I think as photographers, I think it's important we have those conversations. You know, I don't know where it all leads. I don't know, you know, I don't have any answers to that. But I do think it's something interesting for you to possibly think about. I think it's interesting to maybe have some conversations with your friends about who are photographers, or for your friends who aren't photographers, and say, you know, how do they think about that? How do they understand that? How do they rationalize that? And I think it's also important for you to remember that when you look at photographs, that you really think about that context in which the photograph was created, when it was created, how it was created, and what are you seeing within that, particularly when it comes to looking at information where we're maybe not looking at the whole scene, the whole artifact, the whole notion of what's going on. I think it's important that we get that, because from that, we understand that aspect, we can start to realize that we might be missing significant pieces of information. You know, one frame out of a video doesn't tell the story. We need the video to help build the context. And like I said, I think as photographers and video people, we have a stewardship job to help make sure that we push that conversation forward, so that we make sure that the craft we love and the things we do that we love are able to be preserved moving forward in a meaningful way without the cynicism that comes from everything being a deep fake video or a deep fake photograph. So please make sure you be safe this week. Take care of your family, your friends, and your loved ones. I hope you have a great week and get to do something creative and something fun. Don't forget, I've got a couple of spots left in my developing image workshop. So if you're interested in a long format, six month workshop, and really diving deep into how to edit and make meaningful photographs, go ahead and check that out. You can find that up on my website, danieljgregory.com. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Really do appreciate it. And I'll see you next time.